What up, world? Hello. Can you believe all these viewers we have here today?
That's incredible.
It's incredible. Hold on.
That's a dumb start.
Literally, if I could go back in time, I don't know if I would kill baby Hitler or if I would talk to Donald Trump's dad about being a better father.
Interesting. Do you think Donald Trump liked to play with Legos when he was a kid?
What up, world? Welcome to the 31st episode of the Amer Podcast.
We're closing in on 50. Fuck you, Fluffy. Right.
Inching closer.
And we're getting there.
Almost to a third of the hundo. My name is Blake Mannion, and I am sitting here today at SoulSav Studios with John Kelly. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Oh, and we're in Denver, Colorado, in case you guys don't remember where we are. And in Evergreen, Colorado, Mr. Anderson.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Today is Tuesday, August 29th, 2017, and we are recording this one at 6:25 p.m. Beautiful hot day with first world problems. The AC is not working in the office, so
yeah,
that's all right.
Still though, it's hot down there. That's a problem.
Yeah. If they had created those water displacement units that I came up with this morning, we would have a bunch of water flowing in Colorado from Texas, and it wouldn't be so hot.
I don't know if you quite have worked out all of the efficiencies, though.
Yeah, I love the idea of pumping water out of flood zones to be used in other areas, but you need a lot of infrastructure to get it all the way to Denver.
Here's the problem with solar panels is that in a hurricane, they're probably not going to work because of clouds.
Well, it also had the water turbines, though.
But then wouldn't it require water for it to work?
If you're collecting it both up and then pushing it, so you collect it from like gravity, right? You build these tunnels that collect, or these like big gutter systems along any hills that you have to collect the water, and that water moving downwards because of gravity would spin these little turbines, which would power the other generators that are sending the water back uphill. But once you have that water moving, you can also put more generators in there to continue the circuit of power. See what I'm saying? So it was just a first draft, you know, working it out.
I don't know. I think you still need to break some efficiencies out in there.
The solar panels would be in Colorado, all right, to supply the electricity to Texas.
This is getting complicated quickly.
All right. Well, Trump was. We're going to talk a little bit about Trump and the hurricane and Hurricane Harvey and North Korea and Mr. Mueller, give a little update on those three things today. Might as well kick it off with the hurricane.
Yep.
Did they get four or five feet of water?
Nope, I'm sorry, go ahead.
They got 4 or 5 feet of water?
Oh, yeah, they got 50 inches of rain. It is up to 30%. This is the headline on the Washington Post right now. Up to 30% of Harris County is underwater. And Harris County is Houston. So this is the biggest rainfall event in human history. Or not human history, I'm sorry.
In
the United States. 16 people have died. Well,
I think it's up to 19.
Yeah, now. No, I'm seeing 19 on the New York Times and 16 on Washington Post. So this is a catastrophic event. This is terrible for the people of Houston. It's bad for the United States economy. We built a lot of our oil infrastructure is there. I saw that now some refineries are leaking toxins into the water. And also it's something like 15 trillion gallons of water have dropped in this event. And for perspective, Katrina, only 6 trillion only. 6 trillion gallons of water.
Holy shit.
Yeah, so this is double Katrina, basically, in terms of water. We have not seen the worst of this yet. The water will be continuing to drain out for the next couple of days. I saw a report. It's not up to date, so the weather might have changed, but they expected rain up until Friday. So this is going to get a lot worse. The thing that is honestly got me the most freaked out is that this is a multi-year event. This is a – FEMA is going to be there forever. This is going to take forever to rebuild from, and it is going to be extremely difficult to do under the best of circumstances with all parts of our government functioning correctly. And when we have a party that doesn't believe in government and we have a president who is distracted by an FBI investigation and the size of his crowds, I am really concerned what happens when the cameras go away, because that's where this actually, where the rubber hits the road on these kind of events, right? This is a year from now when people don't have toilets still after this. This is where that becomes really terrible. And we have a president who has obviously demonstrated no ability to even concentrate on the things that he cares about. And so this, I think, is going to be bad.
Well, I don't know. I think he cares about his crowd numbers, and he definitely talked about that in his speech down there.
Yeah, can I quote for you?
Please.
He said, this is quoting from the Washington Post, quote, "Thank you, everybody," the president said, sporting one of the white USA caps that are being sold on his campaign website for $40. The president continues, "I just want to say we love you. You are special. What a crowd. What a turnout."
Mm-hmm.
That's the president of the United States talking at a disaster event. Mm-hmm. And you know what actually it sparked in me immediately was that video of George Bush after 9/11 being like, "I hear you. I hear you. I'm here for you." You know? That was a legitimately inspiring moment, despite what we all think about George Bush. And being like, "Buy my hat, what a crowd, sorry Houston sucks." Like, are you kidding me, man? I really, really hope that this has a real political impact. But I really want disaster relief to be functional. Like, I really care about that. I was listening to Trump's photo op today, and the FEMA guy down there sounded great. He was on top of his shit. He was like, "This is going to be hard, but we're going to be here with you every step of the way." And like, that's what you want to hear. But the guy at the top has no fucking clue what he's doing.
I think they said there's 30,000 people displaced.
Yeah, but that was a day or two ago, and it's going to get
more. It's probably going to be more.
It's going to get worse.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my sister and her family lives in Louisiana, and most people in their area have been evacuated or left.
Mm-hmm.
But they're staying in their house. I guess they're like a little above ground. They haven't had any flooding yet, and they've got plenty of supplies and such. So they should be fine, I think. But
that's the other thing about this event. It is a multi-state event. This is going to require...
Right. That's my point.
Yeah. State, mm-hmm. local, and federal agencies all working in concert. And, like, even though George Bush wasn't all that competent, he did actually care. And you saw what happened with Katrina. And if we have a president that is both incompetent and does not care, I am concerned about the implications. You know, we haven't seen it. Hopefully we have a good cleanup. Hopefully there's enough people around him to make this functional, but this is where government matters, right? This is where it actually mm-hmm. matters. It's not about the little bullshit. It's about like, oh my God, we just got hit by a hurricane, and we need the National Guard to function.
Do we have funding set aside for disasters like this? Or
I'm glad you asked. The National Flood Insurance Program was $24 billion in debt prior to Harvey.
Wow. Yep.
So this is also what happens when you don't fund government. This is what happens when you do a sequester, which mm-hmm. was the battle axe we took to our budget in 2012 or 13 or whenever it was. So yeah, we don't have the funding for this, and Congress is going to have to pass something. Hopefully, yeah. Ted Cruz votes for it.
Oh, I'm sure he will. It helps his constituents.
I was
no,
listening.
No to Sandy. He won't support Sandy because there was he even when he got interviewed about it was kind of funny because he was like, yeah, no, I didn't vote for Sandy because there was a bunch of pork in that bill that would have put money in other places besides relief fund. I'm like, well, that's every bill that ever gets passed on the congressional floor. So it's funny for you calling it out one way and then voting for it on plenty of other
bills. Also, my understanding is that he was although this is like kind of inferring from a tweet, so it's a little suspect, although I trust the source, but I think he was inferring a lot of pork because it was like 100 projects over many states, and that's why you can call it pork. But actually, Sandy was such a large event and such a wide ranging event that that stuff was disaster relief.
Right. There was multiple states along the East Coast.
Yeah.
that needed help. It wasn't just Jersey or New York.
So yeah, this one hits a little bit closer to home.
Yeah. Yes, it does. So, yeah,
but
we'll see
John,
what Mr. Cruz
you're absolutely
does.
Correct when it comes to questioning what's going to happen. The fact that it's a multi-year buildup of one of the major metropolises of the United States is
fourth
very,
largest.
Very concerning. Fourth, right, exactly. Fourth largest. Think about how long it took with Katrina and how many problems they ran into in the city afterwards, just rebuilding dilapidated parts of the city. There was real problems between the rich areas and poor areas in the city in terms of the amount of relief they got and in the timely manner it happens. And you're right, Houston is going to take 5-10 years to build itself back up, you know, to where it was prior to it. And I mean, I watched a lot of Trump's speech about it, and you know, he was saying, hey, this is going to be a multi-year thing, but I just don't think that he has the capacity to even think or plan 2-3 years down the road towards the end of his presidency and what that might actually look
like. Who even knows if he's planning on being around his head, you know? Maybe he's like, this, I'm done after this year.
I just want to sell some hats, man.
Yeah, for real. Or by hats, you mean like multi-million dollar mansions.
Yeah.
Man, Russians, I mean, that totally doesn't surprise me at all, but like, that's just in such poor taste. You're supposed to be a president, not selling baseball hats for
totally.
Your campaign.
Oh, yeah. It's just it is just so insulting on, like, the most basic moral level. Like, he should be locked in jail for, what is it? Profiteering. Like,
yeah, totally.
It's just, it is that morally reprehensible.
Which, by the way, for the listeners, it's profiteering is like the opposite of musketeering.
Something like that.
So,
exactly.
Shall we segue to Mr. Mueller's investigation with Mr. Trump?
Yeah, so we have some updates on the Russian investigation. It came out that there were further links to Russian banks. Around Trump people, specifically Kushner. And there also was a thing that came out the last couple of days that, I just lost my train of thought.
There was, Mueller specifically is inquiring into Trump's real estate deal in Moscow that fell through.
That's exactly what it was. It was this Moscow deal that Trump was working on. It was Trump Tower in Moscow, and he was working on this deal during the campaign.
It started in 2016?
I think it was 2015. It was right before the campaign started.
The initial conversation started?
Yeah, well, he signed a contract of intent, a non-binding contract of intent. And I believe it was right before his campaign started. Unless there are some updates.
That's just about what I have.
Yeah, about it starting beforehand. And he's acting like it wasn't a big deal and it wasn't going to go through, but they have his, the guy who was trying to set up the deal, they have him quoting, or like, I think on record somewhere saying that this deal could get our boy elected president through the help of the Russians.
Oh, was it that Cohn guy who said that?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then there was even like mentioning of getting Putin involved. I think, which is why all this is sparking Mr. Mueller's curiosity.
I bet that he knows this. I wouldn't be surprised if this was. Well, I don't know if this is leaking out of the investigation, but I suspect that he is ahead of where the news is.
Oh yeah, by like a few weeks probably.
Did you also see the report came out that during a trip to Moscow, Ivanka sat in Putin's chair?
What?
Yeah.
I did not see that. No.
What else did she sit?
Oh no, no.
Not touching that one. I'm not touching that one. We'll let that one go.
So this is controversial, too, because it would have been one of the tallest buildings in Eastern Europe.
That's a rough transition. So
why exactly is that controversial? I don't understand why that's controversial.
So,
trying to recover.
Because that's what Trump does, though. Like, almost every one of his towers that he's put in internationally are tall buildings and cities, and some of the tallest that are in cities.
Fill that dark void in his soul that his father left because he didn't hug him enough.
Yeah.
Literally, if I could go back in time, I don't know if I would kill baby Hitler or if I would talk to Donald Trump's dad about being a better father at this point.
Interesting. Do you think Donald Trump liked to play with Legos when he was a kid and just, like... try to build the tallest Lego.
He was the kid who kicked over other kids' Legos.
No, even better. He was the kid that went around with Monopoly money and bought people's Legos for them.
It was like, you can buy real shit with this.
Hey, that's not even part of this game. It doesn't matter. It's beautiful money.
And then he would build structures with those Legos and then take the people's money back.
No, he would make them build it. And then he would charge them for his, like, intellectual property. And boom, then they're all out of money. It's like a Scott Tinerman scenario.
Exactly.
We don't know. Anyways, we've gone off the rails. Bring us back. Where were we?
Well, that's about all the update I have on Mueller. But, yeah, I think he is a few weeks ahead of the media just on about everything. And it does look like it's starting to get more personal. So wasn't one of the White House advisors or somebody inside quoted saying that if this got too personal or if the investigation started focused on his family, he would withdraw himself from the presidency?
Yeah, John Harwood, who is I think I might have talked about this on the last podcast, or maybe we were just chatting.
Something like that, yeah.
John Harwood tweeted recently, and John Harwood is a serious journalist, that he's hearing from a lot of Republicans that once Mueller closes in on the family, Trump will resign.
Yep.
But that doesn't make sense to me because he then loses the pardoning power. So I think the only way that he does that is if Mike Pence agrees to pardon him and the family.
And he doesn't need to know this.
The Republican leadership agree to cover Pence. And they all try and weasel their way out of this one by, you know, like blaming the Democrats for Trump resigning.
Well, hopefully
classic Republican.
I actually guarantee you, because I think Alex Jones was blaming Democrats. They said that Democrats were sabotaging the Harvey response to like make it look bad for Trump because he's worried about that right now in the middle of a fucking crisis.
Right. Which is why he pardoned the Arizona sheriff.
Yeah, which I don't think we've talked about.
In the middle of the storm. I don't know if we have either. I think that happened last Friday.
Right. We were hinting at it.
Yeah.
During our recording.
Yeah, that happens, guys.
Because he talked about it in a speech that he probably would do.
I think he's gonna be all right.
Yeah. Fuck off. So here's why that's really bad. Besides, like all of the morality around it and just the cronyism and bullshit. Joe Arpaio was found in contempt of court. Which means that wasn't like a jury convicted him of a crime and then the president felt that conviction was unjust and so he then pardoned him, which is like the typical case for pardoning.
Right.
It was a contempt of court is an order by the judge. So Donald Trump undermined an order from a judge, which has far-reaching implications into the judiciary, and I personally think violates separation of powers.
So he hadn't even gone to trial for this, correct?
This was a judge's order.
Just to stop the tent cities.
Yeah, that's which are
just
unreal. Like
they are unreal. That he called them concentration camps.
Literally real thing.
Yeah, he specifically called them.
And they sound like camps. It too. Like the suicide rate was out of control. It was just it was like degrade. It is
basically living in a tent in the middle of the desert without proper water sanitary conditions, and the court said you have to stop doing that while we investigate. And he was like, "Yeah, I'm just going to keep doing my job anyway. I'm going to keep doing it." That's why Trump pardoned him. He's like, "You shouldn't be convicted of anything when you're just doing your job," which is just so against human rights and so against the courts. It's complete contempt.
It undermines the entire judiciary system.
It is
really bad long term, and then short term, it's just like. You know, it's almost like Donald Trump was designed in a laboratory to do everything that I don't like. It is like absolutely amazing how he just hits every single one of the, like, all the things that I was proud about America, he's just like taking a big pee party on. It's awful.
Well, I hate to break this one to you, John, but I heard that he also has your name tattooed on his right butt cheek.
So he can dump on me on a golden toilet?
Well, I mean, he's continuing the strong pursuit of everything anti-Obama being in the White House.
Totally.
Which, for better or worse, it doesn't matter. He said he was going to do it. It was his whole political platform, and he's continuing along that line.
Talk about no matter what. Captain going down with a sinking ship.
Right. I mean, how do you think, like, Oval Office meetings go? Like, sir, we have a policy we'd like you to evaluate. Did Obama do it? Yes, sir. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Is that the policy discussion? And he's sitting there, like, on his phone playing Candy Crush or whatever? Like,
probably. Policy these nuts. Something like that.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's talk about North Korea. And get out of here.
Yeah. Moving on to the big NK.
So, do you want to introduce it or?
So they basically recently launched a missile, which I didn't hear much about. I actually had to dig through like the New York Times to find this.
Yeah, that's how crazy our world is right now.
Yeah, but North Korea launched. I think they said an unidentified projectile or missile or something like that. So they didn't know if it was like armed or if there's anything on it. But they launched it over the northern end of Japan through Japanese airspace, and it landed in the water. Was it international waters? Where did that thing land?
It must have been international waters.
Did we recept it? Like it retrieve it?
I have no idea. Probably.
I hope so. I sure hope so.
Well, actually, maybe. Who knows? That's an interesting question, actually. This is provocative. Like, normally they don't fire missiles. They'll fire, like, missiles into the sea next to them. To fire a missile over Japan is...
terrifying.
Yeah, it's definitely terrifying. And it's, like, it's the next step up. It's ratcheting up. What they're doing is they're calling Donald Trump's bluff. They're like, fire and fury, motherfucker. Let's see what you got. And well, the problem is that the world has been shown repeatedly, like on healthcare and North Korea and whatever. Trump's just a big fucking bluffer. Like if Jeb Bush had actually stood up to him in the primaries instead of being intimidated, we might not be here right now because he is just that bully who's bluffing.
Trump also recently said that it looked like North Korea was like, I'm going to get this wrong. This is something I didn't look up before the pod, but like Trump said, I believe either Kim Jong-un or North Korea was like learned their place or made a comment
settling
like
settling down or something.
Yeah.
You know
so
why
that's
it was settling
provocative
down?
In itself.
Because Charlottesville happened and Trump got distracted. That's why it settled down.
Yeah. It never settled down for them.
No.
You know?
Well, and the other thing was, is that Donald Trump was the one who was rattling things up. If he just did what the previous three presidents did, which was yes, we saw the missile launch. We're monitoring the situation now. Obviously, all options are on the table, but we would prefer a diplomatic solution. We're talking with our partners in the region and making sure that everybody is under control, and we will coordinate with them on an appropriate response to a very provocative act that we strongly condemn in the most absolute terms. How fucking hard is that?
And that was improv. That was beautiful.
That was literally off the top of my head. This is not hard. Like, and that's all you have to say. Instead, he was like, "We're gonna bring down Fire and Fury, motherfucker! WWE!" Like, not how international relations work, man.
Dude, I think Trump, his favorite movie, I bet to watch one of them is probably Team America.
Probably. He probably doesn't get that it's a parody. He's like, "This is the best documentary I've ever watched." Yeah.
So I think North Korea
documentary with puppets. Fantastic.
I love that they do it with puppets. It makes it so more accessible for me.
Yeah.
I feel like North Korea was not only testing like Trump and his like what he might do, but I think they also launched that puppy to see if we would shoot it down to test Thad.
Maybe. That could definitely be a possibility, and then maybe they're trying to provoke something. Who knows?
I don't think they're necessarily trying to provoke anything. I think they're just seeing if we actually have
the capability to do it.
Yeah, to shoot that shit down. Because that's my first question when I heard this was like, did we shoot that down? And then my second question was, well, did we retrieve the fucking missile out of the ocean?
I don't think that we shoot them down. I've never heard a report of us shooting them down.
Yeah, I think if they were going to test us on that, they'd be shooting it closer to Guam or Hawaii.
Well,
if they were literally trying to test our systems against it.
I think that we have short range as well as medium range intercept missiles. And so there's like a difference between them shooting at South Korea and us intercepting it and us shooting in Japan. And us doing it, and then us also shooting at, or them shooting at, like, Honolulu. Because we have missiles set up in Alaska to intercept, and we also have missiles set up on the peninsula to intercept.
Mm-hmm. But not in those areas, specific, like, where we could have intercepted this one.
I don't think we would want to, because then we give them data about our capabilities, and we give them data about where our launch sites are. So if we see one missile go by, we're like, whatever. It's not an attack, it's a test. An attack will be, oh my god, there's 10,000 missiles and Seoul is being destroyed. We have to intercept as many as we can.
But here's the thing though, is I hear what you're saying, but did they know where that thing was gonna land?
I don't know.
Like, what kind of information did we have on this? Did we know it wasn't going to actually hit anything? Did we know it didn't have a nuke on it?
Okay, do the calculation real quick. What would North Korea gain by shooting one missile at us?
At
anybody. At Japan, at the United States, at South Korea. Just one missile, right? They're going to destroy something. What?
The most obvious point, what they would gain from it, is to see if we could actually intercept it.
But the cost of that means that we're going to go blow something up really big. Much bigger than whatever they blew up.
The act of intercepting it?
Huh?
The act of intercepting it would make a large explosion?
No, I'm assuming that there wasn't an interception. So because,
no, there wasn't.
Right, but I'm saying in your hypothetical... if North Korea shoots a missile, like why would we intercept one missile, right? The reason we wouldn't do that is because it makes absolutely no sense for North Korea to shoot one missile at us that is going to attack us, right? Because the consequences of that will outweigh whatever they get. And like, there is no target that is rich enough for them to just hit with one missile. Like, unless Donald Trump went to Seoul and they decided to try and kill Donald Trump or something. Like, that would be the only reason to use one device, right?
Sure.
That's a missile or a nuclear-tipped missile. A conventional missile or a nuclear-tipped missile. So if I'm, like, South Korea Defense Forces, I see one missile go by, I'm like, it's a test. Because if we're going to get attacked, there's going to be 100 missiles coming at us. And this is obviously a test. It's not going to hit anywhere. So there's no reason to give them data about all of our defenses when we know that this is just one missile out there.
So you think that was the thought process as this thing was flying through the air?
Yeah, I think that's always the thought process because they do this all the time. And it'll always be one or two or three, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember that they've been firing missiles into the Sea of Japan.
And not over Japan.
No, this is new.
This is new, yeah. And it's getting closer to the actual mainland Japan and through their airspace, true. But I tend to agree with John that they're not testing defense systems with one. They're showing their might. That's what they're trying to do. They're flexing their muscles.
They're letting us know that they can hit.
We don't like you doing military actions in South Korea. We don't like you playing military war games practices, which is what we were doing the last
couple. Yeah, that's right. It's a response to that.
They do that every time we stage something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this time they're just particularly pissed about it, so they decided to do something more provocative. This is how nations communicate with each other. There's a lot of like passive aggressive, nonverbal communication. And because we don't have an embassy in North Korea, we literally don't talk to them on a diplomatic, so they can't call us up and be like, fuck you guys. So the only way that they can do that is be like, yeah, well, fuck you. We're going to launch a missile over Japan. How do you like that, Fired Fury? So, you know, like that is how you send signals to each other. So like, let's say if we wanted to escalate, we would do something like probably what we will do actually is we'll fly a bomber over North Korea. Over South Korea. And as a sortie, it'll be one of the B-2s that is nuclear capable, and it's us just giving them a huge middle finger and being like, if you want to do this, we're ready for you.
I heard we were already flying those things over.
We do. We've done like a dozen in the last little while. So that's probably how we will respond to this one, too. And that's how nations communicate with each other, right? And so maybe what we'll do, we'll escalate a little bit and match. And so we'll fly two bombers, or maybe we'll fly two sorties over them. Or maybe, you know, we would do something like put another missile capable destroyer, like an Aegis destroyer, in the region as another way to strike them and to intercept missiles.
Did they uninstall the THAAD system between North Korea and South Korea?
Did they uninstall it?
Yeah, didn't they? We had talked about this on a previous pod that they had set one up there.
Yeah, they didn't uninstall it. It's still there.
Is it? I heard China was upset about it.
Well, fuck China.
Yeah. Of course China was pissed about it.
Yeah, China doesn't like it just in case they want to attack Japan someday. So, whatever, they can suck it. So, yeah, I mean, this is just, it's just one more thing. The problem is that Trump doesn't know how to respond correctly to these things. He doesn't know how to moderate, you know, like, the optimal solution to the prisoner's dilemma is to trust on the first roll and then just respond in the exact same way on every other role. And that is also how you should typically do diplomatic relations. Like if they insult us, we insult them. If they blow a building up, we blow a building up. Like that's what a responsible superpower does. It's not this threatening bullshit because we don't need to threaten people because we have one submarine that can destroy the world.
Do you guys remember, I think it was last year when we had, I don't know if it was a destroyer, what kind of ship it was, sailing outside, like on the coast of Somalia. And they like shot at the ship, like on the coast.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure this was Somalia.
Like some pirates.
Yeah, we didn't do anything about it. And then they like shot a few more times and they blew up one of their towers like on the beach.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Like,
right. Is that good? Like, go ahead. You're attacking a warship with machine guns.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, that's not going to.
Yeah,
and so, you know, like, and that's what's called a proportional response, right? What would be a bad response to that is if we took out a wing of B-52s and carpet bombed the whole village. Like, that would not be an appropriate response. That would be a Fire and Fury response.
Oh, God.
What was responsible is to be like, look, motherfuckers, we had this big gun that's a lot bigger than your guns, and we'll blow up this one thing. And if you want to continue to do this, we'll blow up two things, and then we'll continue to go, but we will win this eventually.
Right, yeah. Right. And that's exactly right. It's just the uncertainty with how Trump responds to stuff and the fact that he seems to fly off the handle daily, where every 2 days it could just be an entirely different thought process in his head. Mm-hmm. But it does seem that his foreign policy is a little bit like speak loudly and carry a big stick.
Speaks loudly because I don't have a big stick.
Well, he still has the United States military. So
yeah, but he has a small penis, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I knew what you were getting at.
Yeah. But yeah, the United States military is the largest stick in human history by magnitude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
By many zeros.
We have a big stick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How tall is Donald Trump?
He's like 6'4 or something.
Yeah, he looked substantially larger than Pence the other day.
Yeah, he's kind of a large person. I heard someone call Joe Arpaio his mini-me because he's like 5'4 or something.
And old.
That's funny.
Well, all right. I think that about wraps up the conversation today.
Inclusion down with short people, apparently.
Hey, I'm not that tall.
I'm not either, so, you know, bummer. But what are you going to do?
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this little weekly roundup here. Or I guess that's already ramble. That's what we were calling them, weekly rambles.
Yeah, because the roundup is NPR, isn't it?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not stealing. We're not.
Nah, we ain't stealing.
We're not touching intellectual property. On people's toes in the podcast realm.
Tyler's still doing top secret things in top secret places, but he should be back next pod. I know y'all miss him dearly.
And we have a special announcement coming soon.
Yes.
But we don't have it yet. Stay tuned.
Well, TBA, TBD.
TBD. Also, follow us at Boo Nazis.
Boo Nazis.
Boo Nazis. Legitimately, though, you will love our picture.
All right. Peace, everybody.
Godspeed.